As here we are with Cover 3 Athletics, or WPIAL, otherwise known as the Whipio Football Podcast. We're entering the second week of playoffs in this 2022 season. And we had a little bit of craziness last week, and this week has to be a lot more. As first of all, as we're recording this Thursday night, so good luck to Westinghouse as they are playing the PIAA District 5A Regional Final tonight out in Somerset against Berlin Brothers Valley. Good luck to Westinghouse representing the city and still our area as they try to go to the next level as state playoffs continue to make history. As it should be a defensive game, both teams have really good defenses. Berlin's Brother Valley doesn't really give up a whole lot of points, but you figure Keymore Salo and the Bulldog offense should be able to be the difference. Hopefully they pull out. But now let's get to the Whipple. So all six classes in action this weekend. So here we go, Class 6A semifinals. As we'll have everything scheduled for tomorrow, aka Friday night. So, 6A semis, we've known about this for a couple weeks now. It's finally ready to be played. Top seed NA will host number 4 Kana Mac. 2 seed Malibu and takes down number 3 Central Catholic. So, look at these two games. NA, can they get over the hump? I think this is the answer is yes. My pick is the Tigers to win, but I think Kana Mac gets an early lead. I think Kana Mac hangs around and puts the Tigers a little bit of trouble. But somewhere in the middle of the third quarter, I think NA will turn it around, make a push, and NA will pull away to win this game by double digits. But I do think Kana Mac will make it interesting for a while, but I like North Allegheny to pull away late at home. Central Catholic, Mount Lebanon, here's the deal. You're used to the Vikings being in the Whipple title game in the largest class. You get the sense that it's kind of like the Vikings in a year. It's been very unusual for them that this would be their time to kind of make a push and make a rally. You can see it on paper, suggests it, but I'm not going to do it. I'm picking Mount Lebanon to win this football game, and I'll tell you why. Central Catholic, yes, they've turned it around. They won the games they had to win. The last couple weeks, they've looked really good. Peyton Wayner has shown to be the real deal as a passer. Pierre Gonzalez is finally healthy to be the number one receiver, and they still got a good defense. But in a must-win game in Seneca Valley a couple weeks ago, yes, they won the game, but it was a close game all throughout, and Central Catholic never really dominated or enforced their will. They did enough to win. Mount Lebanon in a must-win game week 9, won 31-0 over Kana Mac. I understand the difference of opponents, but Kana Mac's in the playoffs, Seneca Valley's not. At the end of the day, giving Bob Palko an extra week along with his young team that's grown up drastically since the first couple weeks until now. They've had a whole 2 weeks of study and preparing for Central Catholic, who they came back and beat in a big game mid-season. The Blue Devils have won 3 straight against the Vikings. They've had their number recent date. At the end of the day, I think it's a back-and-forth game. I think Central Catholic's going to have a lead for a lot of it. But kind of like it happened in the regular season, I think Mount Lebanon turns it around late third quarter and pulls out a bizarre 8-point victory tomorrow night to get back to the final. In Class 5A semifinals, we'll have Upper St. Clair and Bethel Park. Pine Richland versus Woody High. Bethel Park, Upper St. Clair, Blackhawks. They escaped North Hills a week ago, just kind of a defensive, ugly showdown on offense. But Austin Kaye and the boys found a way to win. Upper St. Clair jumped out to a 10-0 lead against Gateway on the road, only to see it go away, to then only come back and take the game late stages. Bethel Park dominated the regular season meeting with the ground attack. But I think this time around, you kind of get a different vibe check. Bethel Park, yes, they had the disrespect factor as a number one seed that they had to play with. I mean, they're the conference champs. They won the regular season meeting. They won it comfortably. But USC, they're underdogs. They have that chip on their shoulder from what happened about a month or so ago. I just feel like the Panthers are playing better football right now. I just feel like they're playing better ball. They're playing more clutch. And I think USC is going to find a way to, again, win this football game. I think it's going to be a totally different ball game than what we saw back in the regular season. I like USC to win this one by 10-plus points. Other side around, Woody High PR. Woody High, they did it again. They make the playoffs in an up-and-down year, and they pull an upset on the road to win a game, down to get to the semifinals. PR, since putting Ryan Palmieri at quarterback, has been absolutely electric on offense. The defense has continued to be very good, and they have also done nothing but win since. Woody High, they're young, but they're talented, and they're learning week by week. Woody High's coming with the house money, and Woody High's one of those teams that they're absolutely dangerous in November, especially with house money. The Wolverines, I think, will, again, in the regular season, they played both of these rematches. The Wolverines jumped out to an early lead, But in the second quarter, PR took control of the game. Second half was a very low-scoring competitive game at half that allowed the Rams to hold on to win. I think this time around, you'll see PR strike first. I think Woody High will hang around, maybe even get a lead somewhere in the middle of the game. But at the end of the day, I think PR is playing too good overall. Woody High is still a little too young. I think the Rams pull away and win this one late. But I do think the final score is not going to be indicative of how close this game plays out. So I like PR to win, but I think Woody High puts a hell of a fight and puts the Rams in a four-quarter battle. We go to Class 4A. Now, from here on out, it's quarterfinal football. So 4A, on the left side of the bracket, we have top seed Aliquippa, the defending state champs, hosting number 8 Montour. And then we have the 4-5 matchup of Armstrong hosting McKeesport. Looking at this, the Quips, everybody's picking them to win, and win by a lot of points, and rightfully so. But talking about Montour, the heart, the spirit, the drive, maybe a little bit of magic, maybe a little destiny. Now goes 99 yards in the final 100 seconds with backup quarterback, and then a makeshift third quarterback, and then James Bundry does a jump ball at the buzzer to give them a one-point comeback win over Hampton. To get here, Montour's got nothing to lose. Nothing but respect for Montour and those boys. Hell of a program, hell of a job to get this far. And I think Montour has a glimmer of chance and opportunity. But at the end of the day, I think Aliquippa just too much, too good. But I do think it'll take the Quips over a half to get this one in control. I do think Montour put a little bit of scare into it. But I think Aliquippa will pull away with this one in the second half. But I think Montour will give much more a fight than they're being given credit for. Armstrong and McKeesport. Honestly, this is my game of the week out of all these playoff games. The contrast of styles. You got a superstar quarterback in Keenan Olsen. A lot of underrated talent around him on both sides of the ball. And against McKeesport, is a triple option, a flex bone. Ground and pound, Bobby Boyd's an absolute superstar. Perryman's very good running this option offense. And their defense, absolutely loaded, a bunch of dogs. It's going to be more physical than expected. But I'm going to say this. McKeesport, you know, a year ago, they were in the semis. They had Aliquippa on the ropes in regulation and in overtime. But a couple special team blunders cost them the game. Quips go on to win the Whitfield title and the state title. McKeesport sent home. This year, McKeesport, phenomenal all season long. But then the regular season finale with a chance to be outright conference champs in the 2 seed. They lay an egg, lose the TJ, whose number they had until that night. They lose by 10 points at home, cost them the 2 seed. Cost them the IRA conference title. Now they're the 5 seed on the road of this game. And maybe it's motivation, but I'm saying, hold on now. Because you look at Armstrong, 10-1 in the year. That only loss was to Aliquippa early in the season, and they played them tough for 4 quarters. I think that's been forgotten about. At the end of the day, I like both these teams a lot. I wish this game was a semifinal or a final, but at the end of the day, it's a quarterfinal. It's in Katanning. I like the Armstrong Riverhawks at home to win with late Keenan Olsen touchdown pass. I'm taking the Riverhawks winning late and dramatic by 5. And it's going to be the hell of a game. And we go to the other side. Number 2 Central Valley taking on number 7 Laurel Highlands. Laurel Highlands has the best player on the field in Ronnie Gallagher. But they got some talented guys with him. And of course the Mustangs, they won their first ever playoff game last year. This year they make a back-to-back playoff appearances and playoff trips with a victory. This year is the first ever time they won a home playoff game. Huge opportunity, playing with house money. But Central Valley, they've had 2 weeks to stew over that frustrating loss to their arch rival Aliquippa, you know, in the regular season finale to stop their winning streak. And that team's talented. Those boys can play a ball. They've been here so many times before. At the end of the day, I think Ronnie has got to do something spectacular to give his team a chance to win the game. I don't doubt Ronnie's ability, but I just think Central Valley is a better and deeper overall team. That'll pave the way. I think Central Valley wins this game. But don't be surprised if Keandre DeShields or Ronnie do something crazy early on to give Laurel Highlands a lead or to kind of make this be an eye-popping, you know, 3-point game in the half or something. But I think second half Central Valley will find a way to pull away, if not a little bit earlier, and win this game by 2-plus scores. The other matchup, TJ, the 3-seed, take it on upset-minded Latrobe. It's a regular season rematch. The Wildcats, you know, Robert Fulton and company want something to be different than what happened in the regular season. TJ, you know, how do they respond? They're having a week off, and you know, there's going to get a lot of talk about, oh, they opened their 3-seed, yeah, they weren't as good as other teams. Well, here's the thing. TJ hit a low point when they lost to Laurel Highlands in the regular season, and in no way is that disrespect to Laurel Highlands at all. But for TJ, where you're expected to win 10-plus games every year, and if you're not winning a Whitfield title, it's a failure. And that for them, that's a huge dark spot. TJ Simpson, though, has been back to being their dominant self. The defense tied up. Brody Evans in the offense got a heck of a lot better. The Jaguars are roaring. And I just think, coming to this game, the Latrobe's going to be overmatched. Good for them that they won the first playoff game over 50 years. And that's about it. I think TJ wins this game comfortably to get back to the semifinals. Going to Class 3A, what do we got now? As give me 1 second. As on the left side of the bracket, you will have number one seeded Bell Vernon taking on East Allegheny. Number four seed Freeport takes on fifth ranked West Mifflin. I look at these two matchups, no disrespect at all here, but Bell Vernon, clearly the better team over East A. Quinn Morton, by far the best player on the field. Jake Grogash is a talented guy as well. The Leopard defense is roaring. They've had a week to rest up. Quinn Morton's been battling injuries throughout the year, has had a week just to rest up and get ready for the playoffs. I think Bell Vernon make quick work of a pesky East A team to move on. Well, then, Freeport, West Mifflin. In this bracket, I think three of the games may be blowouts this week. This is the one that I'm looking at to be a tight game. West Mifflin coming in, kind of the sexy, trendy upset pick of the week. Freeport, gotta be pissed off by that. The Yellow Jackets have an overlooked, really good, stingy defense. And Ben Lean is a special ball player. Low-key, the best player on the field in this matchup. West Mifflin's got some boys that can ball out, and they balled out a week ago. But at the end of the day, I think Freeport's the better team. They're more all-around, and I think they'll find a way to contain the big play and pull away with a close victory. But I do think it'll be a close game. Other side of the bracket, number two Averworth will take on Beaver. Number three was before, takes on Shadyside. I like the Antelopes big. I think Beaver's offense is limited. Antelopes have the offense. Nate Harper, I'm paying Faulkner and the boys. I think it may take a quarter or so, but I think they'll get rolling, and I think they'll prove a point. And the other matchup, EF, South Park, the Warriors have had 2 weeks to sit on the frustrating, embarrassing blowout loss to Bell Vernon in the regular season finale. Shadyside did a heck of a job to get second place in the Allegheny Conference. They get the 16 to get a playoff win. But I think, as before, the better team, the more physical team. Shadyside has nothing to lose, but I like the Warriors in a kind of a redemption mode at home in the quarterfinal to get a big victory to move on to the semis. Class 2A quarterfinals. Left side of the bracket, number one Sioux Valley takes on McGuffey. Number four in Shank takes on number 12 Wash High. I think Sioux Valley. Cruz Perkins is so good, and their offense can be so electric. You forget how good their defense is. I think that's a big difference in this game. Also, you know what Cruz Perkins can do. You know what the offense is capable of with him leading the way. But the Ironman defense, I think, is the story of why they're undefeated, but as dominant they have been this year. I think the defense shuts down the McGuffey run game. This becomes quick work for Steel Valley. Well, then, upset mind and Wash High, can they do it again over number four in the Shannon? I'm going to say yes. Devon Fuse, Carlos Harper and the Prexies, too many game breakers, too many big plays. The Shanks are a real good team. They're physical. They like to ground and pound. Johnny Huff and the boys can play ball, and they're a really good team. But I think the Prexies, I think the game-breaking ability is going to be the difference here, and I think they'll find a way to pull off another upset. It won't be as easy as it was last week, but I think this week they'll find a way to win by 10 points. And I do think they'll get out to an early lead. The Shanks will try to play catch-up, and Wash High will just do enough to hold on. Our side of the bracket, number two Beaver Falls will be taking on Ligonier Valley. The three seed Starox takes on number six Keystone Oaks. I think Beaver Falls and Starox both don't have many problems to move on. You're happy for Ligonier Valley since joining the Whippoorwill. They got the first playoff victory a week ago. Now in the quarterfinal, the Rams are with house money. They're a real good, solid program. They got some real ballers on the team. But Beaver Falls, it's redemption. They want to get back to the championship after last year's debacle. And I think this week's a step in the right direction for them. Jaron Brickner is becoming a special quarterback. They got Hummers on defense. They can play. They're physical. They can run. Brickner's a dual-threat beast. He just gives the offense a whole other dimension. As long as Beaver Falls protects the football, I don't see them having any issues moving on to the semifinals. Starks, Keystone Oaks, the Vikings, after a disaster 7-2 start with nothing but win, and a win by domination. Keystone Oaks has done a lot of the same. The only thing, though, in the regular season, Starks routed them by about 4 or 5 touchdowns. I think the Vikings win again, maybe not by that much, because KO is a solid team. Nick Buckley's the real deal quarterback. But I think Starhawks playing too good, too much momentum, too much talent. The senior class has played a lot of football games, has won a lot of games. They've yet to finish off the championship. This is their last go-around. I don't see it ending yet. Starhawks, I'm going to say, by 17, moving on to the semifinals. And then Class 1A, and I think, honestly, out of all the quarterfinal brackets, this may be the most exciting bracket from all four matchups. As the top seed defending WPO champion Kahneman taking on number 9 Clairton on the left side of the bracket, as well as number 4 Mapletown, who are the undefeated Tri-County South champs, versus number 5 Southside Beaver. So looking at Kahneman, the defending champs, Clairton, and again, Clairton's one of those teams, and they're always dangerous, always have high expectations in November, championship or bust, and then you had a chip on their shoulder, could be a tough time for anybody. And the stats, the paper, a lot of the public think Kahneman's going to win this game. Oh, Clairton's not the same old Clairton. Kahneman's Kahneman now. Ooh, I'm going to disagree. I think Clairton keeps this close for a while. I think the Bears' physicality on defense will keep the big plays in check for Kahneman all night long. Capone Jones is a special player for Clairton. It's going to make something happen and have some type of funky night in a good way. The only problem, though, is I think Xavier Nelson's the best player on the field. Let's say Lax is a game-breaker in his own right. The Crusaders, this group's a special group. And I think the fact that Clarendon's best player is their quarterback, and they don't have kind of that 1A and 1B player to go with Capone, is going to be a problem in this matchup. I think Clarendon is going to hang around for the majority of the night. Capone's going to have his numbers. And I'm going to even go as far as I think Clarendon at some point has a lead in this ballgame. Probably earlier than later, but I think they're going to have a lead at some point. But I think at the end of the day, Kahneman is going to take, it's going to take about a half, three quarters maybe, but they're going to blow the game open eventually. Xavier's going to make something happen. I think Kahneman escapes and wins this game, but it's not by more than 14 points. And then the other one, Mapletown and Southside. Southside, really good season, really good sound football team. They're physical. They run the flex bone triple option. They have a real staunch defense. They come out of, which I said all along, was the toughest conference top to bottom in 1A, being the Big 7. As quarterfinal round, 8 teams remain, half of them for the Big 7. And only 2 of them got to host the first round game. So let's talk about that. Now, I might sound contradictory here, but just hear me out. And we still got the other side to talk about this bracket. Southside, really good, really physical. The only thing, though, is their offense, not necessarily high scoring, and they don't really do big plays. Mapletown, undefeated TCS champs, 11-0. Only the second time in Mapletown football history that they've had an undefeated team. I believe the other one was 1968. It's a small town, beautiful situation. It's awesome. I think it's really cool, kind of the pureness in high school sports. This group of seniors has played together their whole lives. Landon Stevenson is a superstar. I mean, he's nearing 6,000 rush yards in his career. He does it all for them, but he also has talented players and friends around him that play football. And that this is a good team. That yes, they go as Landon Stevenson will take them, but they have a real good team behind and around him that make this an undefeated conference champion that's deservingly a 4 seed, that's won a playoff game, and that's the higher seed in the quarterfinal. Mapletown has the best player on the field in Landon Stevenson. He's the big play threat. Mapletown has dominated every week. And I'm going to say it with all due respect to Southside. Maples by a million. I'm going to say Mapletown wins this football game respectfully. I'm going to say they're going to win by 8 points and it'll be late. They pull away late. But Maples by a million. I say there's too much hype. This team's too good. They're not getting respected enough. Everyone's picking Southside. Just like a lot of people picking Leechburg last week. I'm going Mapletown by 8 points. And they're going to get the win and move on. Surprise everyone. Right side of the bracket. Number 2, Laurel. As they're taking on 10 seed Union. Can the Scotties pull off another upset? As I picked it last week, I wasn't surprised. Now we get a rematch. Both these teams ground and pound. There's just the best player on the field, Landon Smith of Laurel, and he just emerged as an absolute stud this year. I think these teams are very similar, but I think Laurel's got the better player, they got the slightly better defense, and they have the experience of being up in this position a year ago. So I think Uni's had a phenomenal year. They're always fun to root for and watch. But at the end of the day, I think Laurel just will just edge them out. Just, I think they're just a little bit better in every category on paper. I think they'll be a little bit better tomorrow night. I think Laurel wins this game by 2 scores, but the game will be much closer than that. And then last but not least, we'll have 6-seed Fort Cherry taking on number 14 Rochester. And how about this one? Who would have thought this would be a quarterfinal back in August? Let alone who would have picked Fort Cherry in a quarterfinal as the higher seed. But the Fort Cherry Rangers out of the Black Hills Conference are for real. And they have an absolute superstar quarterback. Freshman phenom dual threat Matt Sieg had a 1,000-yard passing, 1,000-yard rushing season. He's well over both of the 1,000-yard marks, by the way. Absolutely phenomenal. Talk about this kid. And how about excitement for him and Fort Cherry, the chance they have tomorrow night, let alone the next 3 years. And Tanner Gary, his head coaching, has done a phenomenal job with this program and really building them up and getting them this vision and what they can do the next couple of years. A lot of excitement. But they got time, and I think their time's not now. Because Rochester felt disrespected as a 14 seed, and they played in the Big 7 Conference. Southside got the 5 seed. Rochester lost to them 10-8 at the end of the regular season. Rochester lost to Union, I think a 6-0, a 6-0 ball game, 8-0, 2-0, some type of bizarre low-scoring game like that they lost. So Rochester's potentially two crazy game differences from being a 5 seed, maybe a 6 seed. They're 14th. They were pissed off last week, and they dominated GCC. They shut them down, and they put 41 points on the board. Insane. And I just can't see Rochester going from putting up that many points against GCC to then struggling to put that many points up this week. And I just think this is going to be a good game. I think both teams get into the 20s. But I think Rochester, who has had too much, I think Seagan Fort Cherry will fall behind a little bit. They'll make a push, but I think Rochester holds on to win something like 34-27. I like the Rams as a 14 seed to get into the semifinals and have another big 7 rematch with a trip to the final at stake. But Fort Cherry, excited for them. Huge opportunity, and if they win this game, my oh my, could that be a story if they pull off an upset next week to get to the final. And whatever happens tomorrow, and potentially next week or whatever this season, the stage is set for the next 3 years for this program to be a force in 1A football in the Whippeagle. Just saying. But I do like Rochester tomorrow night. So those are my takes. That's our kind of Whippeagle football preview for the second week of playoffs. Of course, 6-day 5-day semifinals tomorrow night. Quarterfinals everywhere else. Good luck to West Dallas playing tonight in their PIAA regional final game. As of course, next Saturday, November 19th, will be the Whippeagle 5A and 6A championships at Norwin High School. Of course, semifinals for their 4 classes will be next Friday night. And I believe they're all in neutral sites. And then the following week and Thanksgiving weekend, that Black Friday, November 25th, will be Class 4A, 3A, 2A, 1A championships all at Acushur Stadium, otherwise known as Heinz. Still is what it is, we all know it's Heinz. You'll have the 2 Whippeagle champions crowned in Norwin be playing in state quarterfinals that weekend as well. Westinghouse hopefully continues to play football next weekend and the following weekend as they progress into the state brackets. And the other state teams all opted out, so their seasons are over with. So that's that. And that's, and like I said, and then the first 2 weeks of December are the state football semifinals and championships. And then before you know it's high school basketball season. And then real quick, so, and looking at just the potential, so knock on wood, Westinghouse does their business the next 2 weeks because state quarterfinal weekend, if Westinghouse does its job and gets there, barring an upset, you could potentially have Westinghouse and Farrell in that 2-way bracket. That would be a phenomenal state quarterfinal. With the winner getting the Whippeagle 2A champ in the state semis the next weekend. And that would guarantee a hell of a state court, a state semifinal. So just saying. And on the other side of the bracket, I was doing a little bit of looking ahead. Southern Columbia, who's been the 2A power in the state, they have 3 losses this year, very uncharacteristic for them. Still involved, still very much a player to make the state final. But you have the potential on the other side of the bracket, do have a state semifinal, a Bishop Guilfoyle, who is a power at the state level in 1A, they moved up to 2A in Southern Columbia. So talk about some exciting football in Class 2A, of course, the entire state of PA. It's just getting started. And the fact, potentially in the semifinals next week for the Whippeagle, barring any upsets, you could have a Starrox Beer Falls rematch from a couple years ago in a semifinal. And then you could have Steel Valley taking on, you could have Steel Valley potentially taking on either Wash High or Neshank, which would be a really good game, either way, next week. Now, of course, if there's an upset and you have, one of the others, like I said, Lincoln New Valley continue its crazy run. Well, it's a good run because they were a good team all season, and I think anybody looking into it would realize they should be a playoff team coming into the year. They were good every week this season, pretty much. And then, like I said, they won fair and square to get here. So, Lincoln New Valley, but again, first ever Whitfield playoff from a week ago. Underdogs now, and they pull off the upset, that'd be crazy. Keystone Oaks has had a hell of a season for them. And, of course, McGuffey. So, the point is the 2A bracket would be really crazy and really festive. Not just in the Whitfield, but the entire state. So, if you're a Pennsylvania high school football junkie, that would be the bracket to look at overall. But, that's my piece. So, yeah, so I hope you guys enjoyed. That was kind of the quick get-to-the-point analysis. Of course, the scoreboard will be going crazy tomorrow night. Cover 3 looks will be a one or two games tomorrow to talk about it and give some live updates and awesome coverage that we do, we're blessed to do. And yeah, so wherever you're going, however you're going to plan to watch, be safe, enjoy it, enjoy the holiday weekend and all the veterans who have served this country. Nothing but respect and honor for you and all your families and loved ones, as it is Veterans Day weekend. Hope you guys enjoy this. Until next time, Cover 3 Athletics, take care.